Madhurikadamani, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, describes why one is not steady in the practice of devotion, the causes for unsteadiness. Nishta is one of the levels of advancement after Anarthanivritti, or when most of the gross anarthas are finished or somewhat reduced in the heart by chanting and serving Krishna, chanting the holy name and serving. And lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, they start to diminish and subside to a good extent. Then one becomes situated in nishta. Adosha ratata sarusanga bhajana kriya anarthanivritti nishta. So if someone is not nishta, then we have to analyze why, what are the obstacles, what's keeping him from becoming steady in bhakti, steady in serving and surrendering to Guru and Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave us this verse, which Bhajan Rahasyam Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this verse is the measurement or the sign of steadiness. When one is steady, then he's steadily attached to chanting. He's very, has good, strong faith in the holy name and strong faith in the principle of serving and surrender. So he's always chanting and he's very humble. This pride, which is also an anartha, an unwanted thing, it's the enemy of surrender and the enemy of love. This pride or purushabhiman, this enjoying spirit and this pride, this has to retire. Trinadapi sunichena tarori vasesana amanina manidena kirtina sadani. So one becomes very tolerant, one becomes very humble and respectful to others, and not demanding any recognition, not demanding any honor or praise from anyone or from the environment or from anyone. He's happy. He's happy with the revelation of his own identity. He's happy to be just Krishna's servant. Das, 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 anur das. He's happy with that. He has no more demands. I have an opportunity to serve Krishna in any way, shape, or form, and that's all I want. That's enough. I'm serving Krishna. And I'm chanting his holy names with a peaceful mind and a surrendered heart. So such a person, that when he comes to steadiness, then he has a natural affinity for chanting the holy name of the Lord. It's the holy name is with him. It's his associate. He's always associating. The holy name doesn't leave him. Kirtaniya Sadahari. He's always serving the holy name and hearing about the holy name and chanting. So it's a very high level of steadiness. So then, analyzing this, Vishnu Chakravarti explains, and he has this Madhurya Kadambani means shower. Kadambani means rain shower, so. And, I forget which shower this is, but he explains six stages of anishchita bhakti. It appears in six stages, utsahamayi, and these are, each one is a little bit more higher as one goes further in unsteadiness. As one becomes less and less unsteady and more steady, then he passes through these different levels. So the beginning level, at the very beginning of practicing bhakti at the stage of anarthanivritti, he's very unsteady, then he faces a stage, or he moves on a stage called utsahamayi. Then as he becomes more steady, but still not nishta, but let's say less unsteady, then he comes to ganatarala, then vyudavikalpa, then vishayi sangara, then niyamakshama, then finally taranga rangani. So these are the six stages that he goes through as he's going, as anarthas are disappearing from his heart by chanting Hare Krishna without offense and serving the devotees without offense and serving the Lord without offense. He rises through these six stages and moves closer and closer to nishta. And then there's these six, and then there's five subtle stages also, which he discusses later. So the first of these stages, that the devotee is paces in the level of bhajana kriya, the practice of devotion, is called utsaha mayi, which means temporary vigor or temporary enthusiasm, beginner's enthusiasm. And then the second is gana tarala. Gana means thick and tarala means thin. It means thick and thin. Intense and unsteady practice. Then vyuda vikalpa. Vyuda means fighting. And vikalpa, sankalpa, vikalpa, accepting, rejecting. So this is the indecision stage. Then vishaya sangara. Vishaya means sense gratification. And sangara is a type of struggle. Sangara. Sangara. A struggle with the senses, fighting the senses. And niyam akshama. Niyam, yama niyam. Do's and don'ts. So niyam means vows. And niyam akshama means inability to uphold one's vows. And tarangarangani. Taranga means waves. And rangani means pleasure. This means riding the waves. Riding the waves of enjoying bhakti. Because when you're a devotee, when you begin bhakti, then the characteristics of Shubhada and Kleshagni gradually shower over your head. You become more, your life becomes more and more auspicious. You become more and more delightful for people to see. And your presence is beneficial for others. And this is auspicious. Shubhada and Kleshagni means freedom from suffering. When suffering is caused by the four stages of sin and also by ignorance. So avidya and kutam bijam aparabdha prabdha, they start to disappear by the influence of bhakti devi. Yes. And then one becomes attractive. Krishna is attractive, and as you become more Krishnaized, you become attractive to the general people. You get name, fame, followers. Oh, even if you're not a guru, you're teaching. You're giving teaching or you're leading kirtan, very sweet kirtan or good classes, and people like to take shiksha from you and they're listening to your tapes and you're a famous preacher in the temple. So that fame, you may try to enjoy that fame and you try to get some mileage out of it. And even we see sometimes in temples, preachers, they will tell their jajaman or their shishyas, their shiksha shishyas, their students, oh, I'm teaching you, so you should give me some donation every month, some bhakshish.
Yes.
And they demand that almost from their students, as if it's student fees.
Yes.
And then they will enjoy that by nice maha or nice cloth. Or, there's different ways of enjoying the senses. Nam, kamani kanak pratishtha, honor, distinction, all these are impediments. And this is at the... This is right, it's a very high end of bhajana kriya, about to become nishtha. This comes as charanga rangani.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back to the beginning. One is trying to practice bhakti at the level of anartha nivritti. He's hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna, serving Guru, chanting his 16 rounds, following the principles. But it's still so much unsteadiness. So the first thing that he faces, first stage, is called what is it called? It's called utsaha mayi. Utsaha, as you know from Nectar of Instruction, means utsaha nishchayat dharyat. These are the positive qualities required to advance in devotion. One is enthusiasm and patience and tolerance. Utsaha nishchayat dharyat. Steadiness, enthusiasm. So this, in the beginning of bhajana kriya, we take our Krishna consciousness and it's all very interesting and exciting and new. Mantras and rituals and rising early and sattvic behavior and sattvic people and sattvic vogue. So we become enthusiastic. So it's called initial enthusiasm, but then temporary vigor, excitement, but then it wanes. And it's compared, Vishnu Chakravarti compares it to a new devotee, a new bhakta, who's in the bhakta program or beginning to practice bhakti at home. He feels like a young Brahmin who just begins studying the Vedas, and he actually starts thinking, oh, I've learned Vyakaran. Now I'm a learned scholar and everyone will praise me. I learned two verses from Bhagavad Gita. Listen, oh, Do you know this verse from Bhagavad Gita? Dehina Ushmin Yata Dehe Kongram Yovanam Jara Tata Dehantara Pratir Tiras Tata Namuyati. Oh, yeah, you're so smart. You know so many verses. Do you know Sanskrit? Someone gives a class and they quote a few verses. Natural words, someone comes up. He's a new devotee, Krishna Das. He's been a devotee for a few months. Oh, that was a wonderful class. I've never heard such a class on Bhagavad Gita. And you're thinking, yes, I'm very smart. I'm a very good speaker. And then he said, where did you learn Sanskrit? You're speaking those verses and explaining word for word meaning. You really know, where did you learn Sanskrit? And you're thinking, yes, actually, I'm so smart. But then if you're a little bit honest, you'll actually say straight away, say, listen, I don't know anything about Sanskrit. I don't know at all, any Sanskrit at all. It's simply our Gurudev taught us the technique of preaching. He said we should quote a shloka, tell a joke. And we should quote a few shlokas and try to explain the word for word meaning. So whatever I explained to you, I simply heard from him. I don't know anything about Sandhis or Vyakaran or Kavi or anything about Sanskrit. So don't misunderstand. So that's if we're honest.
Yes.
But generally we keep quiet and lap it up, as they say. We lap up all the praise and say, yes. And then we, and very meekly or very quietly, we say, actually, it's a Guru Kripa.
Yeah.
It's all the mercy. It's a mercy of Prabhupada. Yeah. We don't say that very loudly, but a little bit we say, oh, that it's Prabhupada's mercy. Actually, I don't know anything, but we say that very softly. But we're thinking very loudly.
Yeah.
Actually, I know so much.
Yeah.
And I don't even need any mercy of Prabhupada. I'm self-effulgent.
Yes.
So this is, of course, Maya. But often we see in the beginning of bhajan, devotees very enthusiastic to go to Mangalarti and chant japa, but it doesn't last. This is temporary initial enthusiasm. So unstable bhajan is full of initial enthusiasm. Then if he's able to keep his enthusiasm day after day after day, then the next thing he's going to run next stage he'll come to is Gana Tarala. So this is, take the example, as Vishnu says, the same student, this Brahmin boy who's studying his Vedas, he's very attentive in study, understands the purports of the scriptures, and he feels some joy. But then sometimes he becomes slack because he can't understand the meaning of the scriptures. And he can't enjoy their taste. So similarly, a devotee is practicing bhakti bhajan, shravanam, kirtan, vishnu, smaranam. He may be very attentive, but then other times becomes slack. So sometimes he's very attentive, which is gana, or thick, and sometimes he's tarala, thin. So this stage is known as gana tarala. For example, the student, he's learning Sanskrit, and he's writing, then, or the student, he's learning how to spell, and the teacher says, okay, spell cat. He says, C-A-T. Alright. Spell school. S-C-H-O-O-L. Very, very good. Anything. So I'm doing well. I learned one shloka. And then the teacher says, can you spell super fragilistic espialidocious? And he says, say what? So then the student is learning something. Then the teacher says, so, now, can you please explain to me what are the dasamo? Dasa what? And then the devotee gets bewildered and he says, oh, this is too much for me to learn. How much, I thought bhakti was easy. They gave me a card and said, Chanare Krishna, be happy. And now you're saying I have to learn so many shlokas and so many essay questions and sambandha gyan and avideya and prayojana and dasamo and all these different tattvas. Oh, forget it. It's too much for me. So then he comes like a little bit slack, and he starts, doesn't come to Mangalarti every day, and then he's not reading so much. So this is something we have to not be like this. And the third stage is called indecision. This is the hovering platform. We call it flip-flop. At this stage, someone in they're practicing bhakti, and maybe they're maintaining their enthusiasm, and they're being pretty steady. They're not slack. They're regularly performing. But then in their mind, some indecisive mood comes. And then they're thinking, well, I'm living at home and I'm doing my bhakti, but should I serve the Lord while happily staying at home with my wife and children and trying to make them devotees? Or should I give up everything and peacefully reside in a place like Vrindavan? And then I can engage in Shravanamakirtana without disturbance. This is called Vyuda Vikalpa. Or, this is the right words of Vishnu. In this way I will become successful. But then he says, well, if I have to renounce everything, it would better first I get a strong distaste for material life. And I should realize, I should really not just mentally say, oh, today I renounce, but then tomorrow I want to again eat my own vomit, like a vantasi. First I should realize how miserable sense enjoyment is by enjoying my senses. But then again, I was reading in the scriptures that women are maya. That Bhagavatam says they're like a blind well covered with grass. They're like death personified. So one should not place his faith in household life. And I should be like Maharaj Bharat. At the age of 24, he renounced everything as if it was just stool. Although he was young and his wife was beautiful, and he had everything that he could possibly buy. But he thought, oh, I better renounce this before it's too late. And he ran off into the forest. But then again, but now I can maintain myself. But later, if I renounce and enter the forest and worship Krishna around the clock, maybe I won't be able to uphold my renunciation. And maybe I'll be a false renouncer, and I'll have to come back, and it'll be so embarrassing. Then again, one may wonder, well, should I do kirtan, or should I hear Harikata? Or should I render some practical service? Or should I practice all the items of devotion like King Ambarish? So when one is doing bhajan, many such speculations or ideas may come up, and one may be very indecisive what to do. Should I hear? Should I chant? Should I remember? Should I do practical service? Should I stay at home? Should I leave home? Should I take sannyas? So this is called Vyuda Vikalpa. This is a symptom of unsteadiness due to impurity of mind and lack of purity, because bhajan is not been very deep. After receiving initiation and being instructed in bhajan by Sri Guru, the sadhaka may not be able to decide whether he will renounce the world or stay at home. Then he starts speculating. This is the purport. Shall I make my wife and children Vaishnavas by making them take initiation, learn devotion, and thus worship Krishna at home with the family? The next moment he thinks, but when I stay at home, I have to work to maintain them, and this will entangle me and distract me from my worship. Maybe I should renounce my wife and children. And then I'll be blessed if I can stay in Vrindavan. I have all the time in the world to hear and chant and make spiritual advancement. But maybe if I renounce the world too young, without first enjoying my senses, I will not actually have deep realization. So I won't be able to stay in Vrindavan. I'll run back like a monkey. But then, at the end of my life, I will renounce. So this is goes back and forth. This is explained in Bhagavatam, in 3rd Canto, chapter 31, verse 34. So I read the Bhagavatam and it says that woman is, Kapila Muni is saying, woman is created by the Lord as a form of Maya. So then I say, oh, I read that and I think, well, I better renounce now. But then he says, then he reads a verse in the Bhagavatam. It says, so it goes back and forth, because sometimes in the Bhagavatam it says one should stay at home and be Krishna conscious.
Yes.
So this way he makes different decisions for doing various devotional items. But he can't decide what to do and what not to do. This stage is known as Vyuda Vikalpa. Indecision.
So how does one get out of it?
Well, this is, he sees this in himself, and then he takes shelter of the instructions of Guru.
Okay.
That's why he has guru. So guru says to do this, so I just surrender. I don't listen to my mind. My mind is saying do this, do that, do that. Well, what is guru saying? That's why my only wish that my consciousness purified by carrying out the orders of the spiritual master. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chite. My mind has so many ideas. It's indecision. So I take decision. The guru says I should stay home and have another child and just work and get them married and preach and study the books. And so I do that. Don't listen to my mind. So I stop the Yudha Vikalpa, the Anishchita Bhakti, by surrendering to the order of the guru. The next is Vishaya Sangara. It's very nicely, if you listen to the tape, because all my notes from here and many, many places are collected and delivered in that Ajahn Rahasya. So here it's only one place. There my notebook is so much developed and I can't remember all the different points. Here I'm only reading from here. Vishaya Sangara is the third level. So now he has the first level is Utsaha. This is fourth level. Utsamayi. So now he was initial enthusiasm and then it waned. But now he's maintaining his enthusiasm. And the second level is thick and thin. Sometimes he's fired up, sometimes he's practicing, sometimes he's not. Sometimes he's on the mark, sometimes he's not. That's why he's unsteady. Because steady means every day you chant your rounds, every day you read, every day you go to the program, that's steadiness. So now that second level was Utsamayi, initial enthusiasm, but now he's always enthusiastic. Utsaha, Nishchet Daryat, he's maintaining his enthusiasm. And the second level was this Ganatarala, intense and unsteady practice, sometimes steady. Now he's steady in his practice. And then next thing is indecision. Oh, should I do this? Should I do that? No, I just follow my order, my guru. I stay put. I'm here for the next 20 years. And serving this wife and children and helping them become Krishna conscious and preaching and doing my personal bhajan and trying to hear and chat and serve Vaishnavas. So now I'm no more indecision. No more, Yudha Vikalpa. No more flip-flop. Now I come to the fourth thing. Now the fourth level of anishchita, unsteadiness in bhakti. I have to cross, because if I cross all these, then I become steady. This is Vishaya Sangara, battling with the senses, struggle with the senses, battling with sense gratification. The scriptures say that a person engrossed in sensuality is deprived of Krishna consciousness, just as a person going to the east can never reach something situated in the west. The Vishnu Puran says that objects of sense enjoyment, which oppose attachment to the Lord, are forcibly attracting me towards them and preventing me from absorbing myself in devotion. So I will take shelter of the holy name and give them all up. So although we give up some sense objects, he simultaneously enjoys others. The devotee who is unable to give up some sense objects enjoys it while condemning himself. Thus the devotee fights a battle, or sangara, with the sense objects, sometimes defeated by them and sometimes conquering them. So this is at the level of unsteadiness that we say, okay, I'm going to control my tongue and I'll eat Krishna prasad. And then we go on like that one or two months and we go somewhere and someone sees some pizza. Oh, that looks good. Oh, it's vegetarian pizza also. Anyway, I'm really hungry. Anyway, let me eat that. So then we're defeated by the senses. We get defeated badly. The mind of a practitioner of bhakti, he commences bhajan. It still runs after sense objects because everyone has a tendency towards sense gratification since time immemorial. But the aspirant tries to give up sense pleasure, but due to past bad habits, he's unable to do so. So that's described by Uddhava in the 11th canto, chapter 20, verse 27-28. They explain the nature of a neophyte who is anishchita bhakta, who is not steady. He's at the level of anarthanivritti. A neophyte, he knows that the association of wife and children and all material affairs is actually a cause of misery, but he's unable to give them up. He knows that the material senses to be miserable, and his mind becomes agitated with them, and he firmly fixes his mind in devotion. He says, I'll never give up devotion. Whether my attachment to my family is destroyed or increased, My devotion is distracted by millions of obstacles, by offenses. I may go to hell, or I may have to accept lust, or I may lust after sense enjoyment. Even if Brahma himself comes and tells me to give up bhakti and accept dhyana and karma, even then I will never give up bhakti. So this is kind of this kind of inner resolve develops. It's called sankalpa. Okay, I fall down and I'm unsteady and I'm at this level of, what is this level? This is the fourth level of struggling with the senses. Sometimes I win, sometimes I lose, but sometimes the senses defeat me and I fall down to illicit sex or to eating, uncontrolled eating or oversleeping or, but nevertheless I'm not going to give up bhakti. And when we do that, when we have this fall, these temporary fall downs because we're not steady in the level of anartha nivritti, this is unsteadiness, he condemns himself. He condemns his sense enjoyments, knowing them to be miserable. Even though he ends up enjoying the same thing, he says, oh, alas, I know these material enjoyments are very harmful to me, and they're unfavorable for attaining the lotus feet of Krishna. The many times I've made vows to give them up, sometimes I'm unable to carry them out. So and thus a neophyte has to struggle with the senses. Sometimes he conquers them and sometimes he's conquered by them. This is called Vishaya Sangara. So this is the fighting. It's a fight. Prabhupada said becoming a devotee is a war on Maya. It's a war. What is Maya? Maya is sense pleasure. Now we're going up a little bit higher. The fifth obstacle, or the fifth thing we have to overcome to become steady is niyamakshama. This is the inability to uphold or follow our vows. In this stage, devotee, he makes a sankalpa. From today I will chant such and such a number of rounds, and I will pay so many obeisances, and I will serve the devotees. I will not talk any prajalpa. I will give up associating with mundane people who talk materialistic things. So although he makes such vows every day, he is unable to always carry them out. 1,000 schedules made, 1,000 schedules broken. 1,000 vows made, 1,000 vows broken. Oh, today, every day, I'm going to get up at 4 o'clock every day and put on tilak and chant my japa, finish my japa before 7, like Maharaj asked us to do. Then 3 days I do it, and fourth day, my arm puck, I didn't hear it. I get up at 7. Hare Krishna. So this is an ability to uphold vows. So this is, as our faith increases, we're able to do more. As we develop, as we read more about Krishna and serve more and chat more, then gradually our shraddha, our faith increases. As our faith increases, our steadiness in bhakti also increases. So then we maintain, our enthusiasm maintains. We have no more indecision. We're decisive. And then we're not, what is it? Oh, we're not, it's not thick and thin. We become, let's see, how's it started? It's first, we maintain our enthusiasm, and we're steady, and we're not battling with the senses so much. And then, what is it?
Winning and losing.
Yeah, we're not. The third one is indecision. The second one is thick and thin. So we're enthusiastic, we're steady, we're decisive, we're not in the senses, we're not battling so much with the senses. Now we're getting closer to steadiness, but we're making vows and we're steady for some time. We have a schedule we're keeping, but then we break it. But our faith is getting thicker now. So as our faith increases, the devotee feels the necessity of regulating his devotional services. Well, because of material attachment, we can't follow them regularly. The main cause of inability to relish the mellow of bhakti is our material attachments. But once we get the slightest, even ruchi abhas, or slight taste, or reflection of taste, in Krishna's name, or qualities, or pastimes, then we cannot give up the regular practice of devotion. Just as a child who realizes the sweetness of sugar cane, he can't give up chewing sugar cane. A devotee who realizes the taste of devotion cannot give up his regular devotional practices. So, but at this stage of niyamakshama, means inability to uphold vows, The sadhaka vows daily, he takes, that he will chant 64 rounds. And he does so for some time. But although he takes such vows every day, he's not able to. He has inability to keep his vows. That's interesting. There's a difference between Vishaya Sangara, which means to fight with the senses, and the ability to uphold inability to uphold vows. Because in Vishaya Sangara, he takes vows to renounce sense pleasure, right? Because he's fighting with the senses. He said, no, I've taken a vow. I'm not going to eat bhoga. I've taken a vow to only eat Krishna prasad. I'm not going to eat food not offered to Krishna. But then the tongue is pushing him. So this is sense. He's battling with the senses, Vishaya Sangara. So he's taking vows to control the senses. But now at this stage, at Niyamakshama, he's taking vows to do bhakti. I'm taking a vow to chant so many rounds a day. I'm taking a vow to get up at 4 o'clock. This is not having to do with sense, battling the senses. This is just battling, this is trying to keep his sankalpa, bhakti sankalpa. Although in the stage of Vishaya Sangara, vows are taken to renounce sense pleasure, the devotee is unable to do it. Sometimes the senses, he's battling. Sometimes the senses win, sometimes he wins. But in Niyamakshara, an effort is done to follow the rules in order to advance in bhakti. But in due course of time, he's unable to follow them. This is the difference. One's about rules for bhakti, and the other's just fighting the senses. So I want to chant more rounds. Oh, I chant 32 rounds for so many days, and then I slip back, and I miss a few days, and I go back to 24 or whatever. So now he's getting very close to becoming steady. Because now he's just, there's not so much battling with the senses. Now he's just trying to keep his devotional schedules. I'm going to read an hour every day. And he reads an hour every day for 1 week. And then a wedding comes up. He has to go to Delhi. Then even he brings a book with him. He has good intention. Even to read his hour a day. Even when he's traveling and working.
Yeah.
But then this happens, that happens. He's tired, he's sick. The wedding, this guy, that guy. Then he feels bad. Oh, I didn't. So now he feels bad, not about slipping into sense gratification.
Yeah.
But feels bad because I didn't uphold my devotional vow.
Yes.
So this is inability to keep his vows, but this is still, he's getting quite steady. Now he starts keeping those vows, and he's not battling with the senses, and he's made a firm decision to stay in his position, do bhakti, and he's enthusiastic, and he's not thick or thin. But then he comes to the next thing, riding the pleasure waves of bhakti, delighting in the facilities given by Bhakti Devi. This is called Taranga Rangani. The very nature of bhakti is that when bhakti comes inside a devotee, everyone becomes attracted to him. Because bhakti is Radharani. It's an expansion of Radharani. Bhakti Devi is an expansion of Radharani. And who can be more attractive than Radharani? She's Madan Mohan Mohini. Madan Mohan Krishna attracts Cupid when he's with Radharani. He's Madan Mohan. And then Radharani attracts the attractor of Cupid. And her energy is Ladini Shakti. So bhakti is Ladini Shakti of Radharani and the Samvita Vasudeva Krishna. The knowledge power of Krishna. So we have so much beauty in knowledge, detachment. All these things come with bhakti. Bhakti brings jnana vairagya. So when someone has knowledge or he's detached, he becomes attractive because most people are foolish or ignorant. Or they're attached. Oh, you get up every day at 4 o'clock. Oh my God, we get up at 8, 9 o'clock. Oh, you follow these four regular principles. Oh, you're a big yogi. No one lists sex. God, how do you live? No intoxication. No onions and garlic? What? Why, you're a Mahayogi. If you're a Sindhi or a Punjabi and you tell them that, the people will fall down on your feet and start offering rose petals. You're a Sindhi? I'm a Sindhi. You're a Sindhi? Really, you're a Sindhi? You're a Punjabi. You don't eat onions and garlic? You're a vegetarian? Hey, just between you and me, don't you sometimes eat a little chicken on the side? Don't you, when the devotees aren't around, You know, just between you and me, don't you like sneak off sometimes and go to that Kentucky Fried place, get a few chicken wings? Or don't you like sneak a little garlic once in a while? You know, don't you miss the taste of it? I won't tell anybody, just be honest, pal. You say, listen, really, buddy, I lost my taste. I got a higher taste, the Krishna conscious. I eat Krishna prasad, it's too good. I'm telling you, you should get into it. Really. So then they say, wow. Hey, I met this guy, this Cindy Bindiwala. He's a Hare Krishna. Really? Hey, let's go meet him. Wow, you really are. And then, yeah, Hare Krishna. That's right. Hey, come over to my house and give a lecture. Preach to my uncle. Preach to my... Then you become big Mahaguru. Maha Mega Guru of the Cindys. Because all in all you do is follow the four regular principles and chant a few mumble jumbles every day. Hari snick 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 Hari Krishna Hari snick 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 Hari Ram 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 snick 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 Ram Ram snick snick snick. And then you're like, wow, you're like, so you become attracted. Even the old sages have said, by the attraction of the people, one becomes wealthy. Facilities like profit, respect, and distinction arise from bhakti, or just like weeds around the bhakti creeper. They're compared to small waves on the bhakti ocean. In this stage, a devotee doing bhajan seeks pleasure, ranga, arising out of these waves, taranga. So he starts delighting. Oh, yes, I'm a very good bhakt. Of course, a pure devotee, a true devotee, never desires profit, adoration, distinction, liberation, mystic perfection. All he wants is the service of Krishna. More and more service. There's one nice verse. The Tantras explain one nice verse. Siddhya paramashcharya bhuktir mukti tischa shashvati nityancha paramanandam bhaved govinda bhaktita. All types of pleasure, material and spiritual, automatically appear before a bhakta. Through devotion to Govinda, one gets all types of perfection in mystic yoga, all types of sensual pleasure, the bliss of liberation, and supreme transcendental bliss. So these are actually all this fame and enjoyment and respect, and it's all counterproductive. These are weeds around the bhakti lata. They must be plucked out, ripped out at the root. They grow themselves by sprinkling the water of bhakti like shravanam and kirtan, but they choke the growth of the bhakti creeper. We must cut them down immediately, shoot on sight, as I said in my Ardha chanting book. When you see these kutinati and diplomacy and sense enjoyment. In this stage of tarangarangani, the devotee seeks pleasure by material gain, respect and fame. He does his devotional practice playing in these waves of the bhakti ocean. This is a great obstacle in the devotional path. Now we talked about the gross external impediments or obstacles that actually affect mostly the body. Body pleasures, sense pleasures, profit, adoration, distinction. And these prevent one from becoming completely situated. This word sta, we say nishta. We say stan, lila stan, the place of lila, or the place or the situation, or griha sta, situated in the griha. That's what it means, situated. So ni means completely. Ni shta, completely situated. So when one comes to the platform of Krishna, nishta or nishtita bhakti, he's completely situated in bhajan or bhakti. It's very solid footing. This is the beginning of madhyam. He has the qualification of a madhyam. He's in the middle category. Nishta. He's a madhyam kanishta. This is nishta. So, nishta means that which gives rise to steadiness. So I was saying that there's 11 obstacles to attaining steadiness in bhakti, or the nishta platform of bhakti. In the first six we discussed this utsahamayi and ganatarala and virvikalpa and this vishaya sangra and tarangarangani. They affect the body, but basically. And now these five, these are instabilities or obstacles of the mind. Because stableness means steadiness. These are five unsteadinesses or instabilities of the mind. So, these are difficult to overcome. And because of these, one cannot attain nishta, even after daily efforts. So after anartha nivritti, these obstacles are almost destroyed and steadiness appears in bhakti. So when these obstacles are missing, then you know you have attained steadiness. So we already discussed six, now we're going to discuss five. These are called laya, vikshepa, apratipati, kashaya, and rasa swad. So the lack of these obstacles, so what is laya? Like we have pralaya. Pralaya means destruction. Right? We say pralaya. That means that everything goes down. So I made some keys for these. I can't remember them right now. But laya, it's L-V-A-K-R. Lavakar, oh, that's what I call it. I call it Lavakar. L-U-V, I just call it Lavakar. That's something to remember. L-V-A, L-V-A-K-R, Lavakar. And I had another L for Laya, Va for Vikshep, A for Apratipati, Ka for Kar, Kashaya, and R for Kar, like K-R, K-A-R, Rasaswad, Lavakar. And that's the five. And I had one for the six also. I can't remember now. It's mentioned in my classes. Lavakar. So the first one is laya. This means the increasing tendency to sleep during chanting, hearing, and remembering. Because laya means, pralaya means everything goes down. So when you sleep, it goes... So I always remember laya means to lie down. Lie down means you sleep. So it's L-A-Y-A, like pralaya, laya. Devastation, destruction, you're finished. So when you sleep, it's a type of death. Just like at the end of Brahma's day, he goes to sleep, as we do, and then half the universe is destroyed. And at the end of his life, then everything's destroyed. So they say that there's a partial, when we sleep, it's a laya. It's called it's not pralaya, because that's complete. But because our day's activity, everything's destroyed. We emerge in deep sleep, we don't know our identity or anything. Even we assume a different identity. So laya means to sleep, and it's an increasing tendency. When we chant japa, Krishna's name, we have some tendency to sleep. But when we hear Bhagavatam, we have more tendency to sleep, because it's more passive. It's only sound vibration in the ear, and we're sitting. And then we have most tendency to sleep when we try to remember. If we sit down and close our eyes and try to remember past time, as soon as we close our eyes, that's instant sleep. Because closing the eyes is synonymous with sleepiness. So one acharya is explaining, due to the presence of anarthas in the heart, lust, anger, greed, envy, etc., and also aparada and avidya, these are different anarthas, aparada, avidya, and lust, anger, greed, etc., ignorance, and the aparadas which are known, and then the various anarthas, lust, anger, greed. These anarthas in the heart move the mind from one place to another. So this is... This laya, this is the product of tamagun. Because sleep is... So that's why we have to get proper rest and eat sattvic foods and do everything sattvic so we can reduce the tamagun within us. Because we eat heavy foods at night, big heavy dinner at night, makes us sleep heavy. So there's so much tamagun in us. When we wake up in the morning, we're still heavy tamagun inside. So we... Because we had 10 kilos of ghee left. Garanga potatoes roasted in ghee and 20 puris at 10 o'clock at night. So all that heaviness is still inside of us. Because maybe when we get up at 3 or 4 o'clock, we haven't cleaned our bowels yet, because we don't move our bowels till 6 or 7. So then if all that heavy stuff is in there, So laya is a tendency of falling asleep. These are five obstacles or obstructions to steady devotion, which are affecting actually the mind. So this arises from tamagun and deprives the sadhaka from relishing the mellows of bhakti. So what is the cause of this anartha or this laya? Is a lack of taste, a ruchi, for the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna. Now this is caused by tamagun. So now vikshepa. So now, vikshepa is at second level. This means, you can say, distraction. So now we've crossed over Laya. That's, as I mentioned, the other ones, Anganat, this Utsamayi, then Ganatara, these are gradually going up to Ranga Rangani. So these five subtle obstacles that are impediments to steady devotion, they are crossed one by one. The grossest one is Tamagun. So when you come out of Tamagun, now you're chanting Japa, you're not falling asleep, so you at least have enough energy to stay awake. But now there's Vikshepa. Vikshepa means distraction. Vikshep. I think it may be the same in Hindi. Vikshep. Vikshep or Vikshep means distraction. This is due to Rajagun. So while we're trying to chant, our mind gets deviated. And this is caused by this mode of passion. So now we're not sleeping, we're experiencing distraction. For example, we're chanting Japa and maybe some wrong thoughts come in our mind or non-devotional ideas. So we have to throw these out. When they come, we have to throw them out, because this is due to Rajagun. Or we're chanting rounds and we stop in between rounds and start gossiping. And this is due to our flickering mind. We get absorbed in material talks. Or also another aspect of this vikshepa is that devotee's thinking only of finishing his rounds and not at relishing the nectar of the holy name. And gossiping at the beginning and the end of Bhagavatam class is one effect of this obstacle. So this is an anartha, this vikshepa, this distraction, inability. This is due to Rajagun. And the next one is, this is lavakar, LV, laya, va, vikshepa, is a pratipati. This means indifference. Become indifferent. This often happens. You see devotees, after they've been around for a few years, they say, the Bhagavatam class, I used to go, my rounds, if you chant. If you chant or you don't chant, I'm still here, I go to the temple, no one knows. Become indifferent. So this is also due to tamagun, ignorance. And the mind, there's no interest, the mind loses interest in the limbs of bhakti. A pratipati means disinterest in spiritual topics. This means even in the absence of laya and vikshepa, one is not sleepy and one is not distracted. If I want, I can sit down and chat nice rounds, but I just don't feel like it. I can read Bhagavatam. I don't fall asleep in class. Hey, why are you falling asleep in class? But I don't feel like going to class. It's a very dangerous thing. And this is called a pratipati, that there's no laya, laziness, or no distraction, but a sadhaka is unable to hear and chant and do other devotional practices. Lack of enthusiasm creates laziness in him. Enthusiasm is a life of shraddha. So as one's faith in Krishna increases due to good association, due to study, by reading the devotional scriptures, our faith will increase. By good association and proper performance of devotion, our faith will increase. As our faith increases, our enthusiasm. Because enthusiasm means in theos, to be near theos, to be near God. So as your faith increases, your nearness to God increases. They go hand in hand. It's the life of faith is enthusiasm. So this is, sometimes it says this, of course this is caused by the mode of ignorance. It's a dialogue, within the mind. The mind may meet so-and-so and argue with him. So, now, this fourth one is kashaya. This is a Hindi word, actually. Kashaya means impurities. Kashaya means coloring. Our heart is colored with impure desires. This means the appearance of old habits, anger, greed, and pride that come up while we're hearing, chanting, remembering. We may be chanting Krishna's name. And we see we're quite peaceful, we're chanting, we're not sleeping, and we're not distracted. But all of a sudden, this anger comes up inside of us. And then we open our eyes and we see some devotee from some other temple. Hey, what's he doing here? I can't stand that guy. This anger comes up out of nowhere, like some sleeping snake in a field, and you walk in the field, and all of a sudden this cobra comes out of a hole and lifts his head up, and you go, oh, where'd he come from? Out of nowhere, you didn't see him. All of a sudden his head's sticking out of the hole in the ground. So this hole in the ground is some hole in our mind. The snake is some anartha that we thought that we had transcended. But it comes up sometimes when we're chanting japa or reading or whatever. So these are old habits that we thought were transcended, but they're still lingering within us. So these are impurities. And due to the existence of this anartha anger, due to insignificant cause, or greed for money, or eating sweet dishes, and pride of one's bodily status of eye and mind arises in the heart. This is also caused by passion. This kshaya, anger and greed and pride. And the fifth one, lavakar, that's la, laya vikshepa apratipati kshaya. Then the R part, kara kaya kshaya, R is rasa swad. This means ras aswad. It's very easy. Ras means taste, satisfaction, mellow, pleasure, bliss, happiness. And aswad means not tasting the taste. Inability to taste the taste, you can say aswad. Means non-absorption of one's mind in chanting and other devotional practices while getting pleasure and sense enjoyment. So this means a taste of material enjoyment and plans to taste. We're maybe doing any particular seva, but our mind is elsewhere. We're doing chanting, but we're thinking, oh, I want to eat this, I want to do that. This is rasaswad. One is unable to absorb his mind in devotion while it's engrossed in sense enjoyment. This is caused by passion. So what he's saying is that even after one conquers over most of the anarthas at the stage of anartha nivritti, still there's tamagun and rajagun within the mind. So these have to be crossed over. Then we can come to the level of nishta, steadiness in our actions of serving Krishna, steady in our bodily actions, steadily in our vocal actions, and steadily in our mental actions. So this is quite an impressive list here, 11 obstacles. So we can hear about this and there's one verse in the Bhagavatam, of course, in the first canto, it discusses the verse Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. And Tada Rajastamo Bhavo Kamalo Bhada Yashchaye Cheta Atar Anavidam Stittam Sattve Prasidati. This first canto of Bhagavatam, one can read that also, chapter 2. Verses 15 through 21 or so describes how one gradually comes out of tamagun, rajagun, sattvagun. It's a very nice discussion of purports. So it says there that when naishtiki, because it says nashta praesha badresha nityam bhagavata seva bhagavitamashalvi bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. That we quoted part of it, bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. Regularly hearing bhagavatam brings one to nishta and bhakti. So when naishtiki or nishta, bhakti arises, the mind is no longer pierced by lust and greed and becomes satisfied within the pure mode of goodness. So these will no longer, lust and greed will no longer obstruct bhajan. They cannot form any obstacle anymore during hearing and chanting due to the waking of nishta. Anavidam. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he gives a very nice explanation. He says this word anavida, which is mentioned in a series of verses, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Verse 19. It says, Tena purvadashayam kamalobadayai tikshna sharayitar anavidam chetakatam prasidato katam va kirtan ade samyag aswadam labatam nahi vyatta jajar Jujari tasya adikam samyak rochati iti bhavaha. Translation by Vishnath. Before the appearance of nishta, how can the heart of a sadhaka, pierced by the sharp arrows of lust and greed, feel satisfied and attain divine love? How can he also fully relish the taste of chanting and hearing? It is impossible. For a person pierced with arrows and suffering from severe pain to fully relish a nice meal. So he's asking this question. So until we come to nishta, we suffer a lot. We're pierced by lust and greed, laziness, distraction. It seems like too many obstacles, but bhakti is so powerful that easily all these obstacles can be overcome. The method is there, the success formula is there. Hear, chant, and remember Krishna. And recognize these things and make a determined effort. The key is in association. Because in association, the mercy flows, like rain in the monsoon season. If you're looking for rain in the summer season, you won't find any. You have to wait till the monsoon season. Then you go out and you get too much rain, it'll wash you right away. So the rain of mercy is flowing where the sadhus are gathered. But Kali is such that she, or he, discourages us from sadhu sangha. Makes us run the other way. Avoid the sadhus. Oh, don't invite more devotees in the house. Hey, we just had devotees here last month. Why do you want to invite them again? Wives will say like this. Or husbands will say like this. What is it? Now you want more devotees to come here and give a lecture and do kirtan? We just had a program last month. Every 6 months. This is too much. Too much bhakti. This is what goes on even with so-called devotee families. The very medicine which we require is sadhusanga, sadhusanga, sarva shastra hoy. Lavacha sadhusanga, sarva siddhi hoy. That we are denied by the trick of Kali.